Our scripture today is from Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35. We're going to pray before we get into this. Let me also adjust the picture so that I can see. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and for your love. And we pray today and ask that you open up our hearts and minds to receive this that you have for us. That your name may be praised, that your love might be shared with us, that we may be challenged and encouraged as you see fit. We thank you for your glorious love, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Scripture from Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Let me move this from my sight here. Oh, come on. I can't see it. Did that work? There we go. Oh, my goodness. Now I can't see anything. Okay, here we go. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are some scripture that I read that when I'm done reading it, I always want to add the three notes after it. Dun, dun, dun. You know, this is one of them. Why can't I move this thing? Okay, hold on. Hold on, let me plug in my mouse. My kids are so good at using touch pads, I just can't use them. All right, that's better. Get that out of the way. Now, one of my favorite characters in the Bible has always been Peter. I really like Peter. Maybe somewhat because I feel like I'm nothing like him. Like, he's this bold, passionate, boisterous person who loves to be the center of attention. And always tries to kind of not get on Jesus' good side so much as kind of like impress Jesus, you know, as best as he can, that sort of thing. Always has to have the right answer about everything, and hardly ever does. I guess in that, him and I are similar. But for example, in our scripture today, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? And he wanted to show Jesus that he was listening to Jesus' sermons. So he followed up by saying, up to seven times. And I'm sure he was expecting to hear something like, "Why, yes, Peter, that's right, seven times. Well done. Good job." But Jesus said instead, "No, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Seven is a number of perfection. And so Peter was kind of banking on that. But Jesus wanted to stress the truth that it's not just seven times, not just perfect, but absolute perfect, 77 times. Now, what Jesus wasn't saying in this part is he wasn't encouraging us to keep a tally book and with everyone's name on it, with check marks. You know, when someone wrongs you, you pull out your tally book and you say, "Well, I have forgiven you 68 times. You have exactly 9 more times that you can wrong me, and then I'm not going to forgive you anymore." You know, it's nothing like that. Jesus isn't encouraging that. What Jesus is saying is that we should forgive as much as is necessary, as much as is needed for a particular person. Now, I want to share with you this. We have to, in order to understand this scripture to its fullest, understand what it means to forgive. I'm going to stop sharing for just a moment so that I can reshare. What does it mean to forgive? So my dad always goes to the Funkin Wagnall Desktop Dictionary. I don't do that just because I don't have a Funkin Wagnall Desktop Dictionary. I have instead Google. So I Googled what forgiveness means. And here's the definition that Google gave me for forgiveness. Forgiveness is the action or process of forgiving or being forgiven. Now, that's not very helpful. So I went back to my trusty Google Dictionary and I asked for the definition of forgiving. Forgiving is ready and willing to forgive. Now, that's not very helpful either. So I tried again, and I asked Google what it means to forgive. Here's what it says. To stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake. Now, that's a bit more helpful. In fact, I when we hear that definition, we hear how difficult that can actually be. Stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake. Google also agrees how hard forgiveness is by their, you've read dictionaries before, right? After many definitions, they have a little sentence that illustrates how that word can be used in a sentence. Well, here is Google's illustration of how the word forgive can be used in a sentence. "I don't think I'll ever forgive David for the way he treated her." So Google agrees that forgiveness is a very difficult thing. And man, forgiveness is hard. I mean, seriously hard. And not because necessarily it's difficult to say to someone, "I forgive you." Saying the words, "I forgive you," can be an easy thing if you're okay with being a liar. "I forgive you." But actually doing that act sometimes takes a lot of effort. Because sometimes feeling resentful or angry at someone is all we have against them. It's all the power that we can display over that person. The person who wrongs us and who hurts us, however it is that they wrong or hurt us, has shown us that they have power over us because they're able to make us feel hurt. They make us to feel angry. And so sometimes the only power that we have back is to be angry and hurtful at them and say, "I will never forgive you for what you've done." And sometimes we feel like we're justified for that comment, because sometimes people can do some very awful things. But the Bible, fortunately or unfortunately, does direct us to forgive those who are around us. That act of forgiveness is letting go of that power, letting go of that resentment, of that anger that we have over someone, and to be able to love them again, to cherish them, to recognize in them that they are a creature of God worthy of love and respect. And to be able to say in the midst of whatever it is that they've done to us, I do forgive you. And I will love you. I will love you the best that I can. And I will treat you with love and respect because God has created you. Now, the very act of doing this sometimes takes a miracle in and of itself. Takes God working on our lives to be able to let go of that resentment. But for those of us who may have held on to resentment for a long time, we understand how that can feel like a cancer, a sore that eats away from us insides, causes us ourselves to become bitter, vengeful, hateful people, where God just wants us to be able to love one another, to cherish each other, and as much as it concerns us, to be able to forgive one another. But why? Why should we do this? Our scripture that we read today gives a reason why. In fact, in our scripture today, when we read it, we hear about this servant who owed his master hundreds and thousands of dollars. And in begging for the master for just a little more time, one more chance, the master took pity on the servant and gave him even more, canceling the debt altogether. You see, the servant didn't ask for the debt to be canceled. He merely asked for just more time. We feel happy for that servant. He's forgiven a great debt. I just got a statement in the mail for my student loan. I would love for that thing to be forgiven. It would feel really good if it were forgiven. But beyond that, it feels really good to be forgiven. I remember I've been a parent long enough to make mistakes. You don't have to be a parent very long, I found, to make mistakes of being a parent. It doesn't take a long time to do something that we regret as parents. And I have sought the forgiveness of my children for mistakes that I've made, times that I've yelled when I know that I shouldn't, things that I've said in the midst of my anger, things like that. I share this readily because I know that I'm not the only one who's made mistakes like that. Maybe not as a parent, but in general. Now, my children have told me that they have forgiven me, and I seek their forgiveness again and again. And they have. And it feels good to be forgiven. Although sometimes my son does bring it up. I will say, my oldest, Dad, you remember that time I was 6? Yes, Elijah, I remember that time when you were 6. I'm really, really sorry about that. That's okay, Dad. I just don't want you to forget. You don't know why. But it feels really good to be forgiven. But that forgiveness that we saw that servant get, that we felt really good for him, went away awfully quickly when he refused to forgive somebody else of something smaller. I've been forgiven in so many things in my life, and it has felt so good and has given me such freedom over whatever it was. How awful it is when I withhold it from another. How awful of me to allow another to wallow and to feel bad though they seek forgiveness. And I just want them to hurt when I understand how good it feels to be forgiven. Jesus warns us in this parable that because we have been forgiven of so much, that we too should be ready to forgive, to be able to let go of that pain and resentment, to be able to give peace however we can to another person for what it is that they've done, or at least to grant ourselves peace in that matter, whatever it might be. Now, I understand that this world that we live in can be a cruel, cruel world, and that there are people in our lives that have done us a terrible turn, and that to forgive them has taken a lifetime of effort to do that. But to hang out with them may be devastating, because maybe when we hang out with them, they hurt us. They abuse us. They drag us down into their own personal hell. And I know that God doesn't want that for us. We may not, because of the situation, be able to be with that person anymore. We may not be able to be in contact with them or even in conversation with them because of the manner in which they hurt us or because of the way that they drag us down with them. And I think that that's okay, because we are part of the body of Christ, meaning that there are other people out there who are able to love them in that special way. But God does direct us to love them as best as we can, to forgive them with our hearts, to no longer hold bitterness against them, to no longer hold resentment against them, but to let go of that. To understand we may not be able to be near them anymore, but we can still love them by not hating them, by not having anger towards them, and by wishing them all the best in their life, and even praying for them that God may bless them. But this means letting go of our power, and it means letting God take control. That we become a people of forgiveness, a people who are able to let go of the resentment in our heart and in our lives, and to be able to love those who are around us to the best of our ability, so that they may know without a doubt that Christ loves them so very much. I thank God for the strength that he gives us to do just that. So I leave you with this benediction. May the God of peace, who raised Christ from the dead, strengthen your inner being for every good work. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and dwell within you this day and evermore. Amen and amen. Go in peace.